strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 31st. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Kirsten. How are you doing, Kirsten?
You know what, Aaron? I'm tired. I didn't think anything could be more exhausting than a day in HOH, and it turns out a Sam HOH is even more exhausting.
Exhausting, but also... In my opinion, entertaining. There's so much happening that it's a roller coaster, and we often leave. You know, I think it's a roller coaster with a lot more downs than ups, but it's a roller coaster nonetheless, and I'm enjoying the ride.
I am no longer enjoying the ride. I'm just tired. I just am upset with people for not doing what I want them to do. It's too much. I'm mad at everybody.
Yeah, I feel like for me, there's a distinction between seasons where it's just like everybody sucks and it's lame and like nothing is exciting and that's bad versus like a season where there are some good players and there's a lot of craziness happening and, you know, like flips and switches and dramas and stuff like that. But the outcome is always like not what you want. And I feel like that's what we have right now where it's like we're not getting the outcome that we desire. But like the ride is like thrilling, So
I'm sorry. I can't agree with you on this. I've been let down too many times.
See, that's life. It's life. You can't get the highs without the lows.
Well, I would like some of those highs now. Thank you. We've done the lows. Can we have the highs?
Well, we'll see. I mean, even just this morning, I really feel like, I don't know. I feel like part of what we're seeing are the highs, and we're anticipating that, like, I think we're anticipating a Pretty Boys Final Four, and that's what sucks. But like, I don't think we're getting a Pretty Boys Final Four. I really don't. And so I think we should be enjoying what we have right now, because I think it's going to continue to play out in a way that will be fun.
Well, I hope so. I really hope so, Taryn.
Yes. Well, let me take you through the roller coaster of the day yesterday, and we'll talk about everything that happened on these Big Brother Canada 7 live feeds. It was day 29 in the house. And I do have to say, I feel like maybe part of this, Kirsten, is that, we've talked about your feelings on Anthony, you are not an Anthony fan. And I feel like Anthony, for whatever reason, maybe he just wants to mess with you. He is quite a villain. He seems to always do his best work on Saturdays. So like, I'm here to talk to you about how great Anthony was yesterday, but, yet again.
It's not that I don't like Anthony. Well, now I don't like Anthony. At the time when we previously talked about Anthony, I didn't have a problem with him. Right. I just didn't think he was like the best. Now I actively dislike Anthony. And so he's a lion and I'm just trying to decide, am I a Timon or am I a Pumbaa? I don't know. Let me know.
It's a tough choice. I mean, Pumbaa's pretty funny, but Timon, he's
I think Timon's meaner, so I'm probably a Timon.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, guys.
All right. Well, we started the day with Adam. Adam also did some good work yesterday at various points throughout the day. He started the day talking to Sam. He's really trying to make sure to convince Sam to get Corey out of the house. We're going to backdoor Corey. That's how we save Mark. It makes it easier because, Sam wants to keep Kiki and he can't really seem to convince her otherwise. And so the way out of this is to target Corey, which takes a shot at Anthony. And that's great. great. And, you know, Corey's also good at competitions herself. So this is all great for Adam. He really wants to convince Sam that this is the right move to make. And he does seem to get in her head a little bit. He says, look, it's not about men versus women. It's about what makes the most sense. And it doesn't make sense to leave Corey off the block. If we're going to work with, the twins and Dane, then we should make this move. We should take a shot at Corey. And Sam is, she's like, you know what? That does kind of make sense. I'm kind of on board here.
Yeah. Sam is very easily snowed by Adam for no reason. Like, Sam, you heard the boys talking. You know, this is about men versus women. You know this, but she just accepts it and is like, yeah, you know what? That does make sense. Like, this will make Kiki and Essie feel good. It'll keep Dane feeling good. Keeps you feeling good. Like, yeah, that does. It does make sense. Like, she's just so easily convinced.
Yes. So then we're going to get Kiki and Esty talking. Kiki is starting to become a little bit concerned that, now she's on the block and she's, the veto's coming up. But if she stays on the block, she's starting to get worried. Like, is Dane is going to keep me, right? He's definitely going to keep me because I don't know. I'm just like, obviously, Dane wants to go to the end with you, Esty, because he can beat you. And if I'm gone, then he can get closer to you. I'm just a little worried, Esty. And Esty's like, no, stop. Don't be worried.
Yeah, like Kiki says, Dane has definitely entertained the thought of getting rid of me. He's covering all of his bases. Like, I'm worried. And Esty's like, no, don't be worried. Also, like, don't tell people to their face that people want to keep you because they can beat you. Yeah. Just don't do that.
So then Sam talks to Kira and lets Kira know, I am kind of thinking about this Corey backdoor again. And Kira's like, what? Did you talk to Adam? She's like, oh, maybe. She's like, stop talking to Adam. You can't let him do this. I can't trust you if you're just always going to be persuaded by Adam. We cannot let a guy stay in the house. We need to take a guy out. That's what we need to do. We cannot backdoor Corey. That is not okay. And Sam's just like, I don't know. I just feel like you're a little too focused on the guys versus women thing. I feel like that's, if Ben, look, hey, Kira, you said that Corey is working with the guys. So what's the difference? Why not get Corey out, Mark? And Kira's like, well, because Corey is more disposable to them than Mark is. And Sam's like, I don't know. I feel like they're probably equally disposable. Kira's like, no, we need to keep the women in the house. We need to get rid of a guy. And Sam's like, okay, maybe Damien is the right, it's the better move here. I don't know. This is hard.
Yeah. And I just like, Sam's like, well, you were on the same page as me with getting rid of Corey. And Kira's like, yeah. And then every guy threw Corey under the bus. So now I think maybe we should keep Corey. And Sam is like taking the exact things that Adam said earlier. Like, I'm not looking at gender when I look at who I'm going to get out. I'm just looking at like who I can picture in jury. I just can't picture Corey in the jury. It's like, why not? What? Like, just stop. It's so much.
And I see you in the chat. People talking about like, oh man, look at Kira. Just hold off. Wait until the end of the day.
Yeah. Don't get too excited about this. I think if we've learned anything through Big Brother Canada 7, it's that we cannot get excited by things like, maybe Kiki and Esty figuring out the whole guys alliance with the parachutes, or Kira, knowing exactly what to say because they need to target a guy. We can't get excited about it because they don't keep to it. They don't do anything about it.
Well, you can get excited about it. Just don't expect it to go anywhere.
Yeah, don't get excited about it because you're going to be let down. We need to have low expectations so that we can find some sort of joy in this.
So we then are going to go to Kira and Corey, and Kira lets Corey know that, hey, there's been a lot of talk about back adoring you. Now, this is Kira trying to stir the pot here. Kira really wants to, you know, make some moves, get Corey suspicious, make her start to think about, you know, things like the guys and stuff like that. She also wants to create a wedge between the guys themselves. They really feel good with Anthony, and, you know, that makes them feel like, okay, I can get in with Anthony, and I can turn Anthony on Dane and make these cracks, and Corey will be suspicious of the twins and the guys, and it'll be great. And so this is Kira's idea of like, all right, it's time to stir the pot.
Kira is a mastermind in their own mind. Mm-hmm. Which is fun.
Yeah,
but very disappointing.
So that seed is planted, and it's going to cause some chaos throughout the house for the rest of the day. In the meantime, the veto players are picked. Mark and Kiki are going to be joined by Esty, Damien, and Adam. Adam will be competing in the veto competition. So we then get Sam, Esty, and Kiki. Sam talks with them again about, we need to take a guy out. You know, she's back on board. Kira has convinced her for the most part. Okay, needs to be a guy. So if the veto is used, maybe we should backdoor Damien. You know, instead of Corey, maybe Damien is the right move. And Esty and Kiki are on board with this. Yes, well, absolutely. You're right. Damien is the better option here over Corey, which, again, kind of craziness from Esty and Kiki's point of view, but yeah. Sure.
Well, I feel like with Kiki having been on the block a few times, they're now just kind of like, we need to do something to stop this from happening again and again and again.
Yes. Well, losing Damien is not the right move for them.
Oh, no, but it's not. But I think they're just like, we need to throw anything at the wall, especially pre-veto. Like, maybe agreeing to this gets Kiki down, and then they think they have the votes, maybe, but they don't have the votes. But yeah, I don't know why they... I think it's just because Kiki's on the block and they're trying to do anything to get her off the block.
Yeah. So that's going on there. Corey is going to have a conversation with Esty. They talk about this whole thing about like Corey potentially being backdoored. Now, it's been getting around that Corey thinks that the twins might be behind this. So Esty is trying to be like, we had nothing to do with that. And she's trying to point the blame on Sam and Adam. And Corey is just like, don't worry about it. It's totally cool. I take everything Kira says with a grain of salt. Like, you know, it's fine. Anthony is also doing a lot of work regarding this to make sure that Corey is pointed in the right direction. Kira really, I think, overestimated their ability to point Corey in the right direction, just planted a seed and then walked away and then let Anthony direct that seed and into like where it would grow, and just basically just gave Anthony a bunch of cards to play, which you never really want to do. So that's again, still developing over the course of the day here.
Yes. And everyone, literally everyone talking about it, knows that Kira is the one who brought this up, because Kira has been telling literally everybody this. So it's like not working out for them, because everyone knows she's the one, they're spreading this. And Corey is like, I don't take Kira seriously. Like, don't worry about it. Doesn't matter. And which is really kind of speaks for the whole season that no one's really taking Kira that seriously.
So Adam is going to briefly talk to Anthony, because Adam is still trying to make this backdoor Corey plan happen. And he is trying to set this up with Anthony, trying to lay the groundwork so that Anthony will be okay with Corey being backdoored. And so he tells Anthony, hey, I'm concerned about the votes here. I'm concerned that we may not have the votes to keep Mark if the nominations stay the same against Kiki, because Sam wants Kiki to stay. Mm-hmm. Kira wants Kiki to stay. And even if all the guys vote to keep Mark, if we don't have Corey and Damien, we won't have the votes. So that's very dangerous. And what I'm thinking is that we need to get somebody else up on the block that will definitely leave over Mark. And I think that Anthony is like, okay. He takes this in and he's like, he kind of reads between the lines, and he's nothing really comes of it right now, but I think this is what really sets Anthony off for the rest of the day in terms of like, okay, I need to make sure that my pieces on the board are safe and that I make sure that it's other people's pieces that get removed.
Yes, Anthony needs Corey there because the whole point of the parachute is that, you know, Corey would go over Anthony, but Anthony's not in danger this week. So he wants to make sure that he's got Corey so that he also has numbers moving forward as things do split, if they are going to split. He needs to make sure he has his army.
Yes. So next we get Sam and Adam, and he tries once again to get her on board with this backdoor Corey plan. But this time she says, I don't know, I feel like maybe Damien is the better choice here. I don't want to piss Anthony off. And he's like, it won't piss Anthony off. It'll be fine. This is the safer option. It needs to be Corey. And he's still trying to convince her of this when the feeds go down for the veto competition.
Yes. And so in that conversation, it's another thing where Adam just is so obvious about the guys alliance, but it just doesn't matter because.
I feel like it's important to point out that Sam and Adam both have like agreed without saying it out loud that there is a guys alliance. Yeah. And like, so, you know, they, you know, Adam talks about it like, yeah, like. He says it without saying it. So there's an unspoken agreement between the two of them that there's a guy's alliance, but he's using it to protect her.
And yeah, so he's like, no, we're supposed to be working together. Anthony won't come for you. Like, he'll be on the outskirts anyways if he decides to. And it's like, no, he will not be on the outskirts, but okay. And I also like when Sam brought up Damien, Adam's like, where did this come from? This came out of nowhere. Like, what are you talking about?
And man, Damien... In trouble here if he goes up on the block.
Not good. And it's just very disappointing because obviously the public wanted Damien to have the blood veto and to go far. And then they just decided to do this twist so dumb that now it's not even going to work out in the way that would be most entertaining and satisfying.
Yeah, so feeds are down for the veto competition. They come back up and Adam has won the power of veto, which makes this competition record. Adam has won 4 out of the 6 competitions he has competed in, which is kind of crazy. We talked about how we on our end of the year podcast for 2018, we talked about like biggest comp beast of the year, and really of, you know, a lot of time, you know, Erica, who won 50% of the competitions she played in. She won 4 out of 8 competitions that she played in. Adam has now won 4 out of 6, which is like, that's huge. And if he wins even just one more, his percentage is going to stay above 50%. This guy's winning a lot here.
Yeah, and it's really weird because he's so tall that you wouldn't expect him to be good at a lot of the Big Brother competitions. Like, normally someone with a more compact body type would be better. But, sorry, I thought he only had 3. What's the 4th one? He had the 2 HOHs
and 2 vetoes.
What's the other veto?
He won the veto when Mackie and Kira were on the block.
I forgot about that week happening. So, yeah. Cool. Just totally wiped it from my mind. I'm blaming the plague on that.
So there you go. And I mean, I think I'm pretty sure right now, I don't remember the exact number, but I think it's something along the lines of that Dane has won 3 out of maybe 2 out of 4 competitions that he's played in, potentially. I had that number, but I forgot it. But I think Dane is at 50% and Adam is at 66%. So the two of them together are just really, this is, you know, this is starting to look like Kevin Martin and, you know, Dimitri. So anyway,
I mean, I think we need to wait for the question competitions to start really coming in before we make that call.
Right. I mean, and that's the thing where like Adam did win, you know, one of the question ones, and that's, he was like, I didn't even expect to win that one. And he was, oh my God. Cause he's so dumb at these things. I don't know why he's winning because he had this whole conversation in the pantry with Sam and Dane about like, so when is the ceremony? It's like boom, 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 right? Like it's like it happens right after. And Dana's like, no. There's a day in between. That's the veto competition happens, and then there's a break, and then ceremony. And the only time it wasn't that was my HOH when it happened right after. And Adam's like, no. I thought it was the opposite of that. Like I thought it was boom, 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 and then it was only yours that it was there was a break. And Dana's like, no.
Do you think that Adam is trying to confuse people so that he'll know the answers and they won't, and it's just not working?
Maybe, but then Dane left and he was still on it with Sam, and then Damien came in and he was on it with Damien. He was trying for a very long time to figure this out.
Yeah, well, we'll see how those competitions come down the line.
We'll see.
But very impressive records from both of them.
Yes, especially considering that conversation. Yeah. So we get back into the house. Adam here has the veto, and Kira is going to talk with Anthony. And so, like I said, Anthony is starting to get to work here, and Kira is telling Anthony, hey, Dane is super sketchy. Dane, you can't believe, like, Dane said this to me about you and about Corey, and he's trying to turn people on Adam and Sam. It's like Dane just keeps trying to turn people against each other. And Anthony has this thing that he does, and I'm still trying to figure out if it's effective and why it's effective, if it is. But basically, anytime anybody tells Anthony anything, he's like, yeah, I know.
He just, the way he acts is so insufferable, and he'll just say things like, in this conversation, he's like, I can feel Dane's fear. Like, you don't have to say anything. I know he's scared. And honestly, at this point, it's Stockholm syndrome. I swear to God. Like, I don't know why it's working. And it's just, he's so, the mixed metaphors and the just like, oh yeah, I know it. I know everything. Like, oh, you're bringing me this mind-blowing piece of information. I know. It's fine. I know.
Yeah. Okay. It's I already know. You don't think I see that? Yeah, of course I see that.
Which, like, in life, like, when people act that way, it is not pleasant, and people do not respond well to it. So I just don't really know why it hasn't come back to haunt him yet. But you know what? It might.
Like it's, I'm questioning my own life at this point, because I feel like I made a conscious decision at some point in my life to, anytime anybody tells me anything, just pretend I didn't know it already, because it's so, like, to be like, oh yeah, I already knew that, is like, people don't like that. Yeah. Like, if they're telling you something, it's because they want to see you learn about it. You know what I mean?
It's like when you send someone a meme and they're like, oh, I've seen that one. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, cool. Guess I'll just go F myself. Like, fine.
Or like if they tell you a joke and you're like, oh yeah, I knew that. It's like, it just ruins the moment. So you just like go along with it. But no, Anthony is just like, oh no. I knew this already. Don't think I didn't know this. And it for some reason, it's like very effective in the house, where it makes people trust him more. Because after this conversation, basically he's like, you think I didn't see that already? Like, of course I saw that. But like, you know, like, thank you for bringing it up to me. Like, thank you for opening up to me and telling me something that I already knew. And so then afterward, Kira is talking to Sam about, like, oh man, I told Anthony and he was like, I already saw that. But like, he was so grateful that I was telling him this now. So now he knows he can trust me because I'm telling him something that he knew. And it's like, that's, how did you get that from that? What?
Well, I guess it's kind of the feeling where, like, because he's saying, oh, I know, it makes them feel like, oh, like my information is verified, right? Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, yes, I've passed. I am trustworthy. I am now in the inner circle of Anthony's, you know, alliance in this house. And everything's going to be fine now because I'm close with Anthony, because I got myself in there. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that happens, and then Anthony is going to really go to work with Adam, and he has a long conversation with Adam in the HOH room, where he tells Adam what he needs to do. That's the summary of the conversation. Anthony, he's again really been doing some work throughout the house to make sure that Corey is not the option for the back door, and then the last piece to put into the puzzle here, well, the second to last piece, because he also needs to go to Dane, but the last big piece of the puzzle that he needs to put together here is Adam. And so he needs to convince Adam that Corey is not the right move here, that it needs to be Kiki. And he also needs to, if it's Kiki, make sure that Adam is capable of convincing Sam and Kira to keep Mark over Kiki so that they don't expose themselves in the vote. So that's, I mean, it's a tall order, and Anthony gets it done in one conversation here. He says that, that, hey, look, everybody knows that, Dane thinks he's got Esty and Kiki unlocked. He does not have Esty and Kiki unlocked. Esty's going to run around and, you know, trying to talk about like Dane. Esty and Kiki, they're more loyal to each other than you and Sam are loyal to each other. They're never separating. And so Dane needs to get, Kiki out of here. And, you know, listen. This is how things work here, is that I have Corey. And like, you think you have Sam, you don't have Sam, but I have Corey. And like, I'm not saying I control Corey, but she listens to everything I say because I'm really smart and I make sense. And so, she will, I know for a fact, I can tell you 100% that she will do what I say. I'm not saying I control her, but she will do what I say. And so, we need to use that as a number, and we need to get out the other people. It's all about percentages. And it's just like, you know, Corey is 100%, but like, Esty, she is not 100%, and so are Kiki. So we need to get Kiki out of this game. And Adam's like, oh man, you're totally right. Like you have Corey unlocked, but you're right. Dane doesn't have control of these people, and he's like, yes. And so what's happening right now is that Sam wants to get her own thing going because she knows that you have your own thing going, and so she is going to Esty and Kiki and trying to make this girls thing happen. And we can't let that happen. We can't let Sam build up numbers like that. We need to make sure that Kiki leaves so that Esty runs to Dane and Sam runs to you, and I'll have Corey. And that's how to make this work. And like, it's Anthony, clearly the only person that sees things clearly in the house, yeah, of the pretty boys and how to make the pretty boys work. Adam's like, well, okay, you're making a lot of sense. That's right. We need to get Kiki out.
And so there were a few things in this conversation that I think need to be brought up. Anthony had some more metaphors. He brought in that it's not a grade two recess. They're not running around playing tag. And he called, he referenced the Bananas in Pajamas with Kiki and Esty. Is that a show in America or is it only a show in Canada?
It's, yeah, I remember it from as a child. He calls the twins the Bananas in Pajamas. And so he says multiple times, the Bananas in Pajamas, they're Bad News Bears.
Yeah, so it is Bad News Bears if they stay, because they are the Bananas in Pajamas and they are running around doing whatever they want. And I also liked when he's like, call a meeting and bring me into the room, and we're going to say, if you want to be part of the All-Star team, this is what you have to do. And I just, Anthony keeps bringing up the idea that he just needs to be in a room with someone and just like tell them what they're doing, because it's been working for him this entire season where he's like, no, listen, this is how it's got to go. But like, yeah. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, but not happening.
And it's also like Adam in this conversation was literally like, can you talk to Sam for me? and Anthony goes, no, I can't. Like he considered it for a second. He's like, no, that'll show my cards. I can't do that. It'll have to be you. So then he's like, okay. Cause Adam is like, cause I don't know how to convince Sam to want to keep Mark over Kiki. She really wants Kiki to stay. And so Anthony's like, all right, don't worry about it. Here's what you're going to do. And he coaches Adam on what to say to Sam to make this work. Like, okay, you know, Kiki has been coming after you. She's just trying to tell you what you need, what you want to hear. Mark can be a number for us, that he will be grateful if you save him. So on and so forth. Hey, I've been keeping you safe. All this stuff that you wouldn't expect to work because it's coming from Anthony and he's such a I know kind of guy. And, but he's coaching Adam up and Adam is on board and he's like, all right, I'm going to go talk to Sam. I'm going to make this happen.
It's just so much. Like, it's just so much. Like, why does the coaching work?
No more bananas in pajamas. Cause they're Bad News Bears.
The Bananas in Pajamas are running down the stairs. The Bananas in Pajamas, they're everywhere. Okay.
He's talking about Esty and Kiki. Like, what do you think they talk about? Like, they're together all the time. They're together more than you and Sam are together. What do you think they're talking? They're not talking about yoga mats and almond milk.
Because, you know, when two women talk, there are very few topics that they could really be discussing reasonably. And yoga mats and almond milk are two of them. Okay. I've revealed all of the secrets now.
In the meantime here, Dane is going to talk to Damien. Damien will also talk to Esty and Kiki a little bit later to confirm this again. But Dane is going to ask him where his vote is going. And Damien says, you know, I like both of them. I'm kind of close to both of them, but I am closer with Kiki. She came to me first, so that's where my vote's going to go. And Dane is like, great.
Damien, like, you don't get along with Mark, and Damien's like, oh no, I get along with him, but Kiki came to me first.
Which really, like, they should have learned from the Mackie vote. Make sure you get to Damien early, because he likes to promise his vote quick, and then he's like, well, I promised my vote.
Yeah, just get to him, get him to make you a promise, and then he will keep that promise. It's very, very easy. No one is utilizing Damien enough here.
Anthony is also going to talk to Dane, and he does his same thing on Dane, saying, you think you have Esty and Kiki unlocked? You don't have Esty and Kiki unlocked. Blah, 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 blah. So whatever is what he likes to say. He says, you know, Kiki's playing you. I've got Corey. This needs to happen. We need to get Kiki out. And Dane just kind of crumbles to Anthony's onslaught.
Yes. And I don't, like, everyone just accepts that Anthony's like, yeah, I've got Corey and we're tight. But you know what? You're not tight with your person. And it's like, guys, maybe start trying to split the Anthony Corey thing a little bit too. Like, your people shouldn't be the only disposable ones.
Anthony is maybe he got trained by an actual con man. He's like a confidence guy. Like, he's just like, he just has all the confidence in the world, and that convinces people that he's right. It's like, that's all it is. I can't explain it any other way.
He probably has gone to like some Tony Robbins talks and like that kind of thing. I can feel like it's that same kind of energy.
You get that vibe from him, right? All you have to do is just emit the confidence, emit the alphaness, and everyone will capitulate to what you desire. And it's working.
I could very easily see Anthony being that person who's like, so you put your running shoes next to your bed, you wake up at 5 a.m., you put on your running shoes, and you leave your house for an hour because you just need to get out of your comfort zone, and it's going to really start your day. It's going to get those creative juices flowing. It's just what you need to do, and like this,
you need to build your castle on concrete, not on sand,
right? Can't you see? It's like, you know what? This world is full of Timons and Pumbas, but you need to be the Lion King. I see him as a motivational speaker, but like one of the very weird ones, like very Tony Robbins-esque.
Yeah, I think you're right. So he gets Dane on board, and I can tell you, Dane is not happy throughout the day. Like, Dane is really going to be upset for the rest of the day. He does not want to lose Kiki. He wants this backdoor Corey plan to happen, and he felt like he was making it happen. He was so excited. He was like, yes, I manipulated Sam into making this move to take out Corey, which takes down a number from Anthony, keeps my numbers, takes out a big threat. He was so happy about it, and then Anthony just kind of swoops in and just sweeps everything away from him, and he can't really do anything about it. Dane loses this battle to Anthony.
Yeah, this entire, like, unless the noms change, this week is a lose-lose for Dane, and that's just it. I also like Dane and Esty both think that if Corey went home, it would be their move, which is very cute. Like, Esty had her camera chat earlier, and she's like, if Corey goes home this week, that was my move. This was my HOH, and that's the T. It's like, oh, okay. Cool. Mm. So it's very, that dynamic is also very interesting to see, like, who's taking responsibility versus who's actually taking action.
Yeah. So Adam talks to Kira before he talks to Sam, just because they happened to get into a conversation first. And so he starts to try and push this idea now on Kira that it should be Kiki that leaves. And Kira pushes back. No, I don't think so. It should be Mark. And Adam's like, no, it needs to be Kiki. And, you know, because she's much better at competitions. By the way, Kiki was a very close second to Adam in the competition. So they are really starting to get concerned about her competition ability. And Kira tries to deflect by just saying, you should talk to Sam. You know, just talk to Sam about this. And I was like, no, I want to hear what you have to say about this. And Kira doesn't have any good reason beyond the fact that Mark is a guy. And so they're having a lot of trouble articulating to Adam why they want Mark to leave beyond the guy alliance. And so they eventually just kind of like, she's just annoying and condescending and he needs to go.
Yeah. Well, I also like how at one point they're like, Kiki's more alone than Mark is. Yeah. And Adam's like, what are you talking about? She has Esther Dane, like, in you. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, Kiki has Esty and Dane. Like, what are you talking about? And Kira's just like, well, you know, Mark has Dane too, and other people.
Yeah, like, because Kira and Adam do not have the unspoken thing about the guys' alliance. So it's very different when they're talking about it. He's like, yeah, like Mark runs to power. He'll be good to you if you're powerful. Like, Mark doesn't talk to me. He was so rude to me when I was on the block. And then when Chelsea went HOH, he was nice to me. And if you weren't winning competitions, he'll be treating you the exact same way as how he treats me. It's like, oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. Sure.
So we then go to Kira and Esty, and Kira did not like this conversation with Adam. Kira is not pleased with it. So they're going to run straight to Esty and be like, hey, Esty, you're not going to believe this, but Adam is trying to convince me that Kiki needs to go over Mark, and that is not okay. Adam is so sketchy. We like, you know, this is bad news bears. This is bananas in pajamas.
It's driving me crazy when everyone's like bad news bears, because that was like a very big thing my group of friends said in first year university, and it evolved very quickly to bad news grizzly paws. And so every time they say bad news bears, I want to be like, bad news grizzly paws. Yep, it's bad news grizzly paws, which doesn't make any sense. It's just stupid, but it's very distracting. And so I might slip up and say that when I'm trying to say bad news bears. I also like, there's a point where Kira is like, don't mention the boys thing when you're campaigning, Kiki. And Kiki's like, I would only say that to Corey. Like, why would I say that to the guys? Like,
yes. And let me just quickly say that at least if you're saying bad news grizzly paws, that's not saying the thing that constantly gets stuck in my head, which is, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Which is what they sing in the house.
Now it is stuck in my head again.
You're welcome, everyone.
I'm literally like, sometimes I feel like I'm dreaming the, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. It's horrible.
So this conversation is, there is some sort of tension underlying it, because Esty and Kiki are pissed at Kira. Kira for going to Corey, because then Corey blamed the twins for the backdoor Corey plan. They had to try and pin it on Adam and Sam. And this just really drove a wedge. This thing that that Kira did really just drove a wedge between the twins and Adam and Sam, more so than anything else. And also a wedge between Adam and Sam and Kira and the twins. And so really just backfired in almost every way possible. And so Esty is pissed, and so is Kiki. And so Esty is able to get away with it when she's pissed. She is good socially. She has this conversation with Kira, and Kira feels good about it. Kira feels like, all right, I told Esty what to do, even though Esty was secretly really annoyed. However, we're going to get to a conversation later where Kiki gets involved, and that's bad news bears for the bananas and pajamas.
Well, and the thing is like, this whole plan was just so poorly executed. Like, Kira thinks that they can do everything on their own and that they can just control things and they can come up with a plan and they can execute this plan. It will benefit everyone they want it to benefit and everything's going to be fine. But they needed to talk about this plan more before they executed it with Esty and Kiki and with Sam and try to figure out a way to actually blame it on the guys and make that a thing. Like, you can't just come up with a plan in your head, not clear it with the people that you're trying to work more closely with. Like, if there's going to be any sort of opposition to the guys, they need to work closely with the Bananas and Pajamas and with Sam. But it's just not happening because they think that they can just make unilateral decisions, and it's coming back to bite them.
Yeah. So Adam goes to talk to Sam, and he tries his new Anthony Robbins techniques on her. And
I didn't even click that Tony is short for Anthony. Wow, I'm dumb.
And so he says, you know, Mark is not coming for you. It needs to be Kiki that leaves. And Sam is like, you were trying to get Corey back door just like 2 hours ago. And he's like, no, you convinced me. Yeah, I agree with you now. It shouldn't be Corey. And so he starts talking about we need to work with Corey and Anthony. We need to take a number away from Dane. And, Kiki's been talking about coming after us forever. You know, like I, and Sam is like, oh, well, but I'm like, isn't Mark just a number for you guys though? Like, that doesn't work for me. Yeah. And,
she literally says she feels disposable.
Yeah. Like, I feel disposable to the guys. And he's like, no, that's, I will make sure that Mark does not come after you. And, I can keep you safe. Like, I know you're worried about this, but like, think about it. Have we touched the block yet? Just like, no. And he's like, see, like this, we can make this work. We can get everyone together. And she literally says at one point, you sound like Anthony right now.
Yeah. She's like, have you been talking to Anthony? You sound like Anthony.
What? No, of course not. Like,
it's so much. And he's like, she's like, can I trust Anthony? Adam's like, yeah, 1000%. He wants to sit down with us. Like, we're here because of this. Like, you've been helping me. And if you branch out and do your own thing, like, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, basically the underlying thought process here, to go beyond the words that are being said between Adam and Sam, because they can get a little bit convoluted, is mm-hmm. that Adam is pitching the idea that, I have the guys. I can convince the guys to work with you. I just had a great conversation with Anthony where he talked about wanting to work with you. And so the idea that that Sam can work with Anthony and Corey is great. She doesn't trust Dane more than anyone else. And so the mm-hmm. fact that Adam is now more pro Anthony than pro Dane makes Sam feel a lot more comfortable with the guys. And so in the same breath, he's also throwing he's making her feel less comfortable with the twins, saying that you think that they're safe, that you're safe with them, but they're just telling you what you want to hear because they want to stay safe this week. They're still telling the cameras that they want to come after us. They're still, it was just last week they were gunning for us hard, and now all of a sudden they're not. Whereas we have other people like Anthony and Corey who have been cool with us for a long time. And Anthony was telling me that Corey feels really good about us too. And so like, it makes a lot more sense for us to move forward with them and take a number from Dane, and like, everyone will be happy. We can keep you safe. It'll be great. And this does get through to Sam, and she does agree. And I will say again, as I was talking about yesterday, where it's like the people closer to the truth are actually making the less correct decision. This mm-hmm. is the better decision for Sam, like unintentionally, like yes. The logic is sound enough. Obviously, it's still not the best move in the world. I still feel like the best move would have been Anthony and Dane right up on the block. But Sam does benefit from this a lot more than what was happening before. And add on to that the secret fact of Mark not being a loyal pretty boy, and you get an actual, like, this could be the best move for her game potentially. Apart from the Anthony Dane nominations. But at the same time, it's still very frustrating to see her just be like, okay, Adam.
Yeah. By the end of the conversation, Sam says like, yeah, Kiki does need to go. Like, I don't want her on the jury. Like, okay, cool. Awesome. And then it also ends up with like the other thread throughout this entire conversation is Adam is very concerned about Kira getting into Sam's head and convincing Sam to go against all yeah. this wonderful logic that he and Anthony have laid out for her. And Sam's like, just let me tell them what they need to hear for now. Like, just let me go along with it. Like, we have to kind of keep it secret from them right now.
Yes. And because again, I think part of this is it all kind of stemmed a little bit from Kira, where Sam felt like she couldn't trust Kira as much because Kira just ran to Corey and blew something up. And then that was like a dangerous situation. It caused tension between them and the twins. And then because there was tension with the twins, again, Kiki very bad at faking that she likes people. And so she had fewer conversations with Sam during the day, and in the conversations that she did have with Sam, they were not as reassuring as they had been previously. They're not talking about working together as much anymore. And so Sam is starting to feel a little bit uneasy. Like maybe they were just telling me what they want to hear, what I want to hear. And now that they're feeling a little more comfortable, I'm not feeling as reassured by them anymore. And she's actually right. They are coming for Adam and Sam now, and they can't hide it. That's their problem. Because before they were telling the truth, they did want to work with Adam and Sam, but now they don't. And it's becoming clear to the people, to Adam and Sam, that they don't. And so it's hard for Sam to continue to make a move against the people that she's working with, mainly Adam, when she doesn't even know if she can trust those other people. So she does go along with this.
I think this all goes back to a really great point that Paris made on the Thursday recap of you have to make these relationships at the start of the game, and you need to build the foundation there, you know, build that foundation out of stone, not sand, you know, and like this just didn't happen with the twins and Sam and Adam. So it would be very, very difficult to build something lasting going forward because they just don't have that bond and that connection. And it didn't happen. So,
yes. So she says, he says, you need to trust me. She says, I trust you. And we'll keep Mark. But I can't tell Kira yet because they're not going to go along with it. And they're going to be in my ear all week. And it's going to be a whole big thing. So that's the plan. In the meantime, again, Esty and Kiki, they're still both very pissed at Kira for everything that's been going on. They feel like they're sketchy and they just don't like the whole situation. So when Kira comes in to talk to them at later in the night, they have a bad conversation here. Kira is talking about how Adam's being sketchy and he's trying to flip, you know, the target onto Kiki, and they're like, oh yeah, that's not good. And just Kiki just has so much trouble. It's so obvious that Kiki is just disdainful of Kira's presence in this conversation. Like I can't, it's hard to even Kiki, like reenact. Like,
Kiki cannot, cause it's not really what Kiki is saying.
Yes.
It's the way that she acts. Like she like doesn't have open body language and she just kind of like has her eyebrows set. Like, like, do I have to have this conversation? Like, I don't want to, you know, that's not good. Like,
but no, yeah, you're right. You're right, Kirsten. I agree with what you're saying for sure. So
yeah, you have to spin some more eye rolls. It's just not, you're not there. You're not there yet, Taryn. I'm sorry. Like, you're trying. It's fine. You're not there. I'm sorry.
This is like a Mark Kiki conversation because they both do it.
That's why those conversations are so entertaining, because it's like these two people are literally miserable. But they have to be there. And isn't that what Big Brother is all about, if not putting two miserable people in a room to try and pretend they're not miserable?
Yeah. So you know, they have this conversation. It's just not working. And you can tell that Kira is like, you know, so we're not going to talk about the guys thing, right? And they're like, no. Oh, Kira, no, of course not. And it's just like, it's really starting to get weird. And they're like, but then they start talking about the vote and how they need Kira's vote. And Kira literally asks at one point, like, you guys haven't just been like telling me what I want to hear because you need my vote, right? And they're like, no.
And it's also just like, that's not going to work. You can't just ask someone if they're telling you what they want to hear and expect an honest answer.
Yeah. So
like sometimes asking just like a really obvious question to try and get some radical honesty, like sometimes that can work, but not that obvious.
So this conversation just ends on a bit of an awkward note, and it doesn't like flip Kira yet. But it puts Kira in a certain frame of mind at just the wrong time, where Kira is wondering, that seemed really off. now I'm starting to question everything that we've talked about all week, because they're acting this way, and it's really, you can read it on Kiki's face. And so Kira goes into the HOH room with Sam, who is busy dancing to the music. They both start dancing together. And this is just a funny, I hope they have this on the episode, because it's like a funny moment where they're both dancing. And as they're dancing, Kira just says to Sam, like, do you ever think that maybe Esty and Kiki are just telling us what we want to hear? And Sam's like, yeah. And so then they take the music down, and Sam says, you know, what else happened is that earlier today, Kiki told me that that next week she would put you and Damien on the block, which is what she said, because, you know, they've been talking about working together and, you know, stuff like that. And Kira has not been included on those plans. So now that Sam has been flipped, she's going to use that information against Kiki with Kira. And Kira is very annoyed. Like, I can't believe she would say that. And of course she trusts Sam, which she should, because she is telling the truth in this moment. And so this really just solidifies Kiki is just such a liar. She's always lying. And, and it just starts the wheels turning in Kira's head. They start walking toward the hot tub, because they were out in the hot tub when it was snowing. And it's a sad moment. It's a beautiful moment. It's a funny moment. They keep talking.
How is it beautiful? Okay.
Kira, because it's just so perfect. It's so perfectly stupid. Kira is talking to Sam and talking about how they went to Anthony and they feel good with Anthony, and they feel like Anthony is starting to distrust Dane. This is the conversation that I was talking about, where Kira is talking about how this was an effective conversation, and that Anthony said, I know. And they were like, so that made Anthony trust me. And, you know, now he's aware of what Dane is doing. So, you know, that those seeds I planted with Corey, they worked. So listen, Sam, I did it. I cracked the boys thing. I cracked it. And Sam's like, yeah, you did. You did it. And Kira goes, so now we can afford to keep Mark. And I tweeted this out, but I literally burst out laughing when I heard that.
It's just, I think it would be a really fun Twitter account if someone took clips of Kira being told really obvious information and being devastated, and then just like a funny sound drop, or like Kira just like saying these things and then like the X-Files music. Like, I just, like, they seem to believe that when people are talking about each other, then that just definitely means that they're working against each other. And there's no way that this could be like a coordinated effort from an alliance to appear that they maybe aren't working together to protect themselves. And that, you know what? They don't need to wait for any action to be taken. They don't need to see the pretty boys actually work against each other, because you know what? They're talking about each other. So you know what? They cracked it. It's done.
It's Anthony, man. It's Anthony somehow is in Kira's head, and they trust Anthony for whatever reason. And so they feel like they have it in good with him, and that, that he is really on board, that he understands what Dane is doing, that Dane is talking about Anthony. Anthony's talking about Dane. Like, again, Anthony really just the only person in this Pretty Boys alliance that understands exactly what makes it work. He is not trying to protect Dane in conversations with people that don't like Dane. He is not trying to protect Adam in conversations with people who don't like Adam. He is using that influence conservatively as he moves along, and he is just really, you know, we thought this was going to be Sam's HOH, then we thought it was going to be Kira's HOH, then we thought it was going to be Adam's, then we thought it was going to be Kiki's, then we thought it was going to be Dane's, then Adam's again, but no, all along it's been Anthony's.
Yeah, and it's just so much. It's literally like, honestly, you know what, guys? Just for the outside world, Anthony's probably going to start some kind of podcast after this. And we should not listen to it, because he's going to get in your head and he's going to destroy you.
He's going to convince you that bananas and pajamas are bad news bears, but they're not. They're fun.
Yeah, they're great. Okay. They've got the three bears that are friends with them, and those aren't bad news bears. Those are great bears. Okay. They're cute cartoon, not cat cartoon. Whatever. It was people in costume. But yeah. Whatever.
No, there were both. There was cartoons too.
It was like a cartoon like intro, and then the show was the creepy banana costumes. I watched a lot of Bananas in Pajamas when I was younger. That's why I was like, I don't know if this is a Canadian show or not.
Well, so this is what's going on. And so now Kira and Sam are both on the same page. They want to keep Mark and take Kiki out of the game. Kira very much just was like, I did a good thing. I did a good job. Didn't I? And Sam was like, you did a good job.
just give Kira a gold star, I guess.
Yep. Big old gold star.
Need affirmation.
Yes. There are a couple more conversations later in the night, but they don't really lead anywhere. We did get some movement this morning that I can briefly talk about, where we had Adam, Anthony, and Dane all talking about the week moving forward and how to like move forward with the Pretty Boys. How when Kiki leaves, it'll be Adam with Sam, Anthony with Corey, and Dane with Esty, and then it's just a matter of who do they take out of the remaining people in on the board. And and Adam was doing a lot of work with them to say, you know, Sam is on board with us now, like Sam is good, and they actually brought Sam in and talked with Sam, the three of them. Like, this is the most open they've ever been about the fact that like this is very, again, now this unspoken thing is sort of branched out to Anthony and Dane as well, where they're basically saying like, we're going to bring you on board and work with you, and we're going to take out the other people. And so they talked about that and about taking Kiki out. And then afterward, Adam was like, this is so good. This is finally happening. You're with the boys like me. And we're going to get down to like the final six, and it's just going to be couples, and we have the best chance of winning competitions. So it's going to be great. And Sam seemed to be, not like super excited about it, but on board enough. I don't know if she still has some other things that she might want to, you know, use in her back pocket here. She definitely has the information at this point. They're being pretty open about it, but that's happening. And then also, Dane was not happy with this. Dane was super pissed. He went to Esty and said, we just had a conversation. Adam is so annoying. I'm so done with him. I can't believe that I've been protecting him for so long. I can't wait to take a shot at him and Sam. You know, like, he's really, cause he wants Sam out. He does not like this. He's losing a number here. He's going into this potential final six, final seven scenario with Esty as his partner, who can't win competitions, at least that we've seen so far. He's really feeling like this is a losing situation for him. It would not surprise me if Dane tried to make some kind of surprising move, given how mad he was here. But Anthony may be able to keep him in line, but just saying, there's still a lot of stuff happening, and these Pretty Boys are not a cohesive group. And so we've got a lot of stuff happening here.
Well, yeah, Kira cracked them, so
it's all over. Kira did it.
They did a thing.
Yeah,
they did a thing, which, you know what, that's always fun when you're like, I did a thing. One other thing that I thought was kind of funny yesterday is Dane talking about putting Kira up next week, because maybe the blood veto means you go home the minute you use it.
Dane is very much set on, we need to put Kira up next week to flush this, whatever it is, this blood veto. They need to be on the block no matter what. So that is like anytime Dane talks about anything, he's talking about make sure Kira goes up on the block. And so it's happening.
Yeah, but you know what? We've heard Dane talking about Sam for a long time, and guess what? Nothing has happened to Sam. So we'll see what he actually makes of things if Dane wins an ice age, I just can't do it. I don't think I could do it. But yeah, if he does win power again, like seeing what he actually does with it, what Anthony convinces him to do, how pissed off Dane will be to lose Kiki. Like, we'll see.
Yeah, and in all of this, I don't think I've even mentioned Mark at all, but he looks very safe at this point. There's still a lot of time for things to flip around, but it does seem like Adam will not be using the veto, but Mark should be safe because the votes here should be Adam, Kira, Anthony, Corey, that's at least four, and then probably Dane if he needs to vote that way, but he may not even need to. He may decide he wants to hide the fact that he's voting Kiki out, and then even if they lose Kira, that they still can have Dane as an additional number. If they lose Corey, they have Dane as an additional number. They need to lose both Corey and Kira and continue to not have Damien in order to not have the numbers, which doesn't seem particularly likely at this point. So Mark seems pretty safe. And again, at this point, it's like there's not a lot of people that are going to be coming for Mark anytime soon. So he should be sliding back under the radar unless he wins an HOH, and he may still be wanting to take out the Pretty Boys. However, we haven't heard from him because of the stupid TVs in the lounge. He's not talking to the cameras anymore. And so I don't know if this is still his plan or if being put up by Sam kind of scared him into submission, knowing that the Pretty Boys are the only thing keeping him in the house. So I don't know exactly what's going on with Mark at the moment, but his life in the game has been extended significantly. I think this is a sort of a Kira situation where you survive mm-hmm. once, you should be good for a while.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as long as he doesn't go this week and he is, you know, feeling protected by the Pretty Boys, he'll wait longer to make his move. I think he maybe was overstating how willing he was to make a move to make sure Canada liked him.
And that's the thing. He should not be making a move. Like, especially if they go through with this, like, you know, final six is the three couples plus, or final seven is the three couples plus Mark. That puts Mark in the best possible position. Yeah. So yeah, maybe he'll recognize that, but who knows?
Yeah, he's a smart guy. Like, I don't think he was ever really making a move. I think he was aware of what the perception would be of this type of alliance and how it is, you know, working out. And I think he knew that. I really don't know how
self-aware, though.
I don't know if he's that self-aware, but I think, like, I don't know if self-awareness is the right term for that. I think that, like, he's watched the show and he knows how frustrating it is to watch one side dominate. And so I think even if he was just pretending, he wanted to seem like other in case there was some sort of benefit. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's a big part of Big Brother Canada is playing to the audience.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's hard to tell.
And I think now, he'll be even less likely to do it now, though.
I agree. Yeah. I think that, you know, between Sam putting him up, realizing that if he stays, it's like really just by the grace of the Pretty Boys. This is probably pointing out to him that he doesn't have any relationships outside of them, and that, you know, yeah. What can you do there? So, you know, watch out for that. I guess all I can say again at this point is that this was a very fun day of feeds for me. I feel like we're really lost in the weeds right now in terms of like really wanting things to happen and, you know, having other things happen. But I do feel like, you know, when we look back at this, we're going to remember how like crazy and fun it was to have all this stuff going on. There's still a ton of stuff that can happen. I really feel like people are they're a little a little sour pantsy, a little, you know, bad news bearsing,
sour pants.
trying to be all grumpy. This is miles better than Celebrity, so I think we can be happy about that. And so, you know, I think that we should be looking at this and try to look at it from a different perspective, just a little bit, because there's a lot of fun that can be had with this.
Well, and after the veto ceremony tomorrow, we will have the bananas and pajamas running around screaming at the cameras, and maybe that will be fun.
And here's the thing too, where I feel like, you know, if you are just sort of like tuning out and just like sort of skimming and seeing mm-hmm. just like the end result, that's probably maybe one of the reasons why it's like, oh, the end result keeps being the same thing, but like the journey there has been so fun every time. I don't know, that maybe that's part of it too, but
yeah, I think, yeah. Sorry, I think for Canada, a lot of people don't actually watch as much of the feeds because it's a little bit less accessible. So that could be part of it.
Yeah. All right. So that's what we've got for you this morning. I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 6 or 7 live feeds. And then tonight, I will be live with Ryan from Big Brother Canada 6 to recap tonight's episode, where we will likely see the something regarding the blood veto. It did happen before nominations, but I don't know if we will learn what it does yet, because Kira claims that they don't know what it does. Mm-hmm. And if Kira doesn't know, then I don't expect us to know either, because we don't generally get information from the show that is not told to us by the contestants themselves, unless Arissa is hosting. I don't think like the narrator voice is going to come on and be like, so this is what the blood veto does.
No, I think we'd be more likely to get something of the voiceover guy saying like, and Kira got the object and has a classified mission or something along those lines, where we'll have no idea what it actually means.
Yeah, probably. Or it is possible also that that Kira does know what it does, and that that they haven't told anyone yet. Maybe there really is some sort of negative to it, and so they're trying to keep that a secret. It might be a thing where if they can use it, but when they use it, there's also a negative thing that is attached to the game. And so if they are able to keep people in the dark and just make them think that like, hey, this is a power, don't even try, then that's better than them knowing the actual downsides. But who knows?
I think we'll know by the end of the week, so that's nice at least.
Nikki has a good theory here. We could also be voting on what it does. That might be another option. But we did just have a vote for the bed thing in the have-not room. So.
The bed thing was just on Twitter, though.
Yeah.
And so I think they like having votes to drive traffic to the website. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do it. Because we just had the vote for the bed, and then we also had the vote for the Leon's Lounge, and then a different vote for the Leon's Lounge, and then the casting vote. Like, there's a lot of votes, and it does drive traffic to the website. So
yes,
never underestimate the possibility of having a vote on Big Brother Canada.
Yeah, and Kiki did receive the have not bed, by the way, which I'm sure was also great for her game yesterday.
I just don't, like, what's the point?
So unnecessary.
What's the point? Yeah, we're going to give a Tempur-Pedic mattress to one of these three people. Like, for what? Like, for why? Just what's the reasoning here?
It was really, it was coming from all angles here, where Kiki came in second place in the veto. She received a voted bed. Voted for bed in the have not room. So clearly the audience likes her and she'd be inclined to win other votes is the impression that gives. And then, you know, she also doesn't like the people that she needs to have for votes, and she's bad at pretending that she likes them.
And she just won a veto. So
yeah,
like in the double. So
not good.
Not good for Kiki, unfortunately.
Yeah. So it's definitely not going to help. All right. That's what we've got for you. Thank you once again for joining us. Tune in tonight after the episode, and then tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern, and then tomorrow night as well for the roundtable that will be at 9 p.m. Eastern. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.